KPCA LP, Petaluma, California.
Ready.
Or not, here we go.
Oh, I screwed up the intro, didn't I?
Yeah. Hey, guys, your mics are
glad I didn't even
know that. You know that now.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Inside Petaluma. I'm Tim Thomas, co-hosting with Jason Davies and Janice Peter Thompson. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's Friday. Again,
it happens.
Every week there's another Friday.
True.
Yeah. I told you guys, it's my second favorite F word.
I heard there was a movement to ban Fridays.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, people don't like them.
Well, I kind of always liked Fridays.
Yeah, some people don't. They just think it should be Thursday and then the weekend starts.
Well,
not Friday anymore. Just
I like that too.
Yeah. I'm totally making this up.
Well, I actually bought tickets to see Little Women at 11:50 this morning.
What were you thinking?
Well, I wasn't thinking yesterday when I went in and bought my ticket, so I went in today and gave my ticket back, got my money back, and now I can't go in for another few days because it's booked.
Oh,
I'm very picky of what seats I get.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's like me trying to buy tickets for Star Wars over the holiday weekend.
Oh.
I mean, it is convenient. You can go online and you can see whether there's decent seats or not. It's not like a surprise.
And they charge
there.
You extra.
There's a service charge, and there's fewer seats, but they are more comfy. Danger of falling asleep, though. That's the one thing.
There's
those reclining chairs.
It's nothing like trying to buy tickets for Dead & Company on New Year's Eve.
Well, that's true.
Are there tickets even available still?
Well, I got them. I was online. No, I was online as the minute that they went on sale, and I paid dearly for them.
Well, I actually got tickets to go see Michelle Obama.
Wow.
And she's going to be April 1st in Sacramento. And so I happened to call somebody in Sacramento that day because I was asking something. Mm. I don't know what. Don't want to get into what it was. And the person said, that if you put Michelle in, you can get pre-sale tickets. And I put Michelle in, and bam, it popped right up. And so I got my tickets. They were actually decent seats, $139. Then I went on the next day when the real sale went on. The tickets are like $220.
That's crazy. I spent less to see The Who.
I'm taking two of my granddaughters with me. And so, one is she's 16 tomorrow, and she's political.
I have to ask, is any of the money going to a cause she's supporting?
You know what?
I'm just curious.
I don't know, and I wasn't even sure at the time.
Okay, sometimes those are benefits, which helps rationalize the ticket price. But who wouldn't want to see Michelle Obama? She's pretty awesome.
I think she's pretty I agree.
She's pretty
awesome. And I'm taking two of my granddaughters, who are the most political out of the family, and the one who's turning 16 tomorrow. She is very political, and she wanted Hillary Clinton and Chelsea Clinton's book.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So hopefully it's going to get there tomorrow.
Well, speaking of political books, I lucked out. I was able to reach David Hightower time to buy five copies of his Seussian indictment of Trump. The Sun also sets.
Yes.
And he actually dedicated five copies of these books that I gave to my family members. And, of course, he asked me, he said, are you selling these to people that are Trump supporters or not? And I said, no. So, I guess he's doing an informal poll trying to figure out how many people are actually sending these books to Trump supporters. Because the book, if you haven't seen it, he actually... He did a book signing here, and we had him on our show. But it's really great. It's
it is a good book.
It's all about Trump, and it's illustrated with some really great cartoony kind of stuff that's in a style sort of reminiscent of Dr. Seuss, and lots of rhymes and stuff. So that was a big hit for my family members, and it was a local purchase. So apparently they do have copies at Copperfield. People can check it out, but. That was my big gift to my family members.
See, I don't think I would waste my money buying it for the people family members that I know that are Trump supporters. I actually called one a racist the other day.
Oh, that are Trump supporters.
Yeah. And he's un-Facebooked me.
Well, I don't think it would work anyway.
A family member?
Yeah.
Okay, you'll have to tell me later.
Oh, I think you might know who it is. I think he used to be related to your sister.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I know who.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting.
Yeah, which I didn't realize. I completely forgot about that wedding and had no idea that my cousin actually married your sister.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're divorced now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a small world. And I remember the wedding because they were pinning money on the wedding dress, and I had never, ever seen something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
It was odd. But it was fun. We had a good time. So.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of remember it.
It was at the Pen Grove Women's Club.
Yeah.
So I think there was something in the Press Democrat today. Time for Petaluma to rethink ban on marijuana sales.
Yeah, there's an opinion piece also in the Argus Courier.
Oh, is there?
On the same topic.
I missed those two articles.
Yeah. Huh.
So what are they saying?
Well, they
who
said
wrote
it.
First of all, who wrote?
Well,
it's XXX. It's like the editorial board.
Yeah.
Oh,
Matt
okay.
Brown and Emily.
Yeah.
I don't think it was John Burns. I just don't think so. But yeah, I mean, it makes a case
himself.
It makes a case that many of us have been making for multiple years at this point. And I don't really understand what the holdup is. Is it someone just needs to bring it up to the attention of the council and make it happen? What's the deal? Why are they?
I think it is. We have a very prudish city council.
No, but let's talk about that. We got Delinda Fisher. She's for it. We've got Teresa Barrett. She said she's for it. Kearney said she's for it. Donald said he was still vacillating, wasn't he?
I really don't know.
Kevin McDonald was vacillating, I think.
Well, during his debates, during the candidate season, he was...
Said he was
waffling.
Yeah, you said he would. You know, he needs more information, more time. So maybe
he's worried about the federal part.
Well, that was what David Glass used to
That's
say.
That's what he used to
and
say.
And I think that you know what, it had a little bit of merit, but I think it's way past that at this point. There's been no indication that the federal government is going to be, you know, clamping down on states.
Let's see what happens in 2020 before we start saying what, you know, the federal government's going to do, because if a certain person gets reelected, I'd be very fearful if I was a person of color or marijuana, anything. We don't know what this madman in the White House could do.
That's true.
So I don't like to be naive and say, oh, well, I think everything is going to happen, and everything it seems to be that people are behind us.
Well, that's true,
yeah.
But we can at least look at what the statements have been from the Trump administration, and I agree with you, you can't always rely on their statements. But, you know, Jeff Sessions, who's no longer with them, had been talking about clamping down. He's not in the administration anymore. I do know that this is kind of a bipartisan issue these days. I mean,
well, that's because there's money to be made.
A lot of Republicans that are in favor. In fact, who was it? That Gates guy. Remember that Gates guy? It's one of my least favorite people in Congress. But he criticized Joe Biden because Joe Biden was saying that he wasn't quite sure at this time whether marijuana was a gateway drug or not.
Right.
And Gates called him a boomer and slammed him for that. So I guess the bright news is that there is one issue, at least, where Democrats and Republicans agree, it seems, and that is marijuana legalization. So that's a good thing. So, yeah, I think our council needs to just do it. This is
I really like to, besides legalization, I want to make sure that people that have been convicted of marijuana, those convictions are gone.
Well, that's already happening. That's happened in California.
I know, but not throughout the whole nation. And there's a
right,
lot of
yes,
people.
Yeah.
And,
well, it needs to be federally legal.
Yeah,
no, absolutely.
And, you know, and the other thing is, I just want to briefly talk about privatized prisons.
Yeah.
And, you know, and how many people, I mean, you know, it's a business.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a business, that's what you're promoting.
Yeah, it's your profit motive. It's you need profit to fill motive, the jail.
And it was not surprising, but disappointing that Bloomberg, you know, through his campaign, hired people.
I heard about that.
And it's not, this is not critical against him, but what my comment is, but it's the fact that you actually can go ahead and hire a prison system, privatized prison system, to go ahead and make political phone calls. Those men and women are not making the money. Yeah. It's all being funneled into this privatized system.
I think it's a fair criticism of Bloomberg. I mean, he should have been. Well, he should have known about that. And he's selling himself as a leader.
But that's not really what my point is. My point is that we should not allow privatized prisons to be making money on the prisoners because they're not making the money.
It's gross. And then there's situations where judges are encouraged to give these sentences because, obviously, in order to get funding for private prison, you have to have bodies to imprison. So
that's the issue is.
Yeah, that's very
gross. It's so interesting. We keep hearing about, black people aren't going to vote for this Democratic candidate, and this person might not vote for that Democratic candidate. Based on current polling, but, I mean, let's talk about privatized prisons.
Yeah.
Who are in these prisons and what has happened in our prison system for, my entire lifetime, and it's people of color are in the prisons.
Do you think prisoners should be able to vote?
Yes, I do. Actually, I'm not sure when they're in prison. I don't know. I have to think about that one. But no, I think that they should be able to vote. Your voting rights should not be taken away.
I agree.
I want to see education is powerful. And, you put more money into education, you're going to have less people in prison. And then if you, instead of playing, it's money, it's making money.
Well, also the whole idea with prison, I thought originally was to reform and improve people.
Rehabilitate,
thank you for that
word.
Then
it became privatized, which is making money and how to make money.
But it seems to me, like on the voting thing, is that you'd want them to have a stake in the future, and feel, like they're involved. It just seems like that would be part of rehabilitation.
Unfortunately, we're not rehabilitating.
Yeah.
And it's not the way that we should be going. Education to me is so important. But I'm also looking at the City of Petaluma has an official city website.
Yeah, new website. Looks very good. Yeah. Back when I was on the Technology Advisory Committee, that was a big thing we were trying to do, was improve the website. The city at the time didn't have the funding, and they did kind of a facelift to it, but it was based on a template that the state of California was using and some other municipalities, and it was just sort of a temporary facelift. And now this looks much better. It's more in sync with the Petaluma Star website. And I'm guessing it's probably responsive for mobile devices, which is a good thing. In fact, I'll have to try it on my mobile device. But yeah, if you haven't yet seen it, go to cityofpetaluma.org, people, and you can see.
Org or net? I'm looking at.
It's org.
Cityofpetaluma.org.
I just went cityofpetaluma.org.
Yeah.
And then I went to there.
Net might redirect there. Let me try.
Everything has been changed to org.
Yeah,
since Peggy's come in.
Yeah, if you do put in .net, which I believe was the old one, it automatically redirects to .org. So,
yes, you're correct. I just saw that.
So that's a good thing.
And you're talking about we couldn't get a website up, in the past. Mm-hmm. It's really leadership is why it never happened. Mm. And it really goes to show that management has a lot of power. And I feel like our last city managers, all males, this was not an interest to them. Being connected in the community was not a huge asset. Peggy is completely different.
Yeah, we've
really gone into the community.
We were always told it was
that's what employees of the city have told
issue.
Me.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that's why we have a website. So I always hate to, of course, I always have to go back and say, we just need to be very clear. It really is leadership that makes these things happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this is a good one. But one thing I just want to bring up, talking about amenities, it was in the 1970s. I was actually at Kenilworth Junior High when this Olympic-sized pool was opened. And that is a huge asset for a community. Mm-hmm. And During the Target shopping center hearings, that developer wanted to plow over the this amenity. And so it's so important that as a community you realize what amenities you have and you value them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is...
And protect them.
And protect them because it is huge. And that kind of goes into the Argus today. Or in the Argus the other day, they were talking about Schulenberger Park.
Yeah.
And kids... And the straw program, you know, kids restoring wetlands. And just a little history is that it was actually a teacher at Old Adobe School that I connected with when the conception of this wastewater plant was going to be designed. And it was really bringing kids in. And it's so exciting. This many years later, kids are really connected with the environment. It's right within our community. And I'm kind of looking forward to maybe... next year for the Turkey Trot to actually incorporate maybe the Arts Commission or Arts Community so they really understand that when you're walking around Ellis Creek, it's you're actually walking around an art project, and people don't realize that. And the city has just put that under the table so they were not promoting art, and art is very important.
Yep.
And so it's a good thing. It takes a long time for things to happen, but you have to have patience.
Yes. So apparently there's some powerful waves that may slam the Sonoma coast today. So if you're feeling like going to the beach, just be very careful because sometimes people get swept in pretty sad.
I actually knew somebody many years ago. This happened to this young couple, and they were just engaged.
Mm-hmm.
So they were, you know, college kids, and they went out to the coast and never were found again. And I knew their mom. And, you know, and when I read this, and every year around this time, you know, you always go back to that horrible day. And it was just because of these huge waves.
Yeah. So we, when I was a kid, I mean, we were always raised never to take your eyes off the ocean and never turn your back. And it's all true. But even just walking, you know, what seems like a fair distance from the waves can be risky. So people should adhere to the signage, and if you see other people that are getting too close, give them a warning. There was just a father who died in Carmel trying to rescue his 10-year-old daughter. It was very sad. The daughter, I think, is okay.
She's okay, but the father.
And we hear it all the time. People's dogs go out, and then they try to, I mean, I might do the same thing. I mean, you just feel like you got to go save the dog, but... Often what happens, the dog comes back fine, but the person trying to rescue the dog dies.
Exactly. I did call our mayor today.
Oh.
It's her birthday, so happy birthday to Teresa Barrett.
Teresa Barrett.
Mayor Barrett. Yeah, and she, I asked about, because I was reading about this defense shield city from casino development. This is old news. We knew that this had already happened months and months ago. So I thought it was interesting that was in the front page of the paper. But what I asked her was about the dredging, and has the city heard anything from the Army Corps of Engineers? And she says not as of today.
That's not a good sign.
That's not a good sign because it's toward the end of the year, and then this ends up being the front page. It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Oh, well. That's the way it goes.
So this is a $738 billion spending package that included a measure authored by Jared Huffman. It's our congressional representative. It creates a homeland for the Litton Band of Pomo Indians near Windsor. It's significant for Petaluma. The bill includes language that outlaws gambling on the reservation and any other land in Sonoma County that the tribe seeks to take into federal trust. First step in establishing an Indian casino. So I imagine this helps with the effort to avoid having a casino south of Petaluma as well.
Well, that's what this is about.
Yeah.
This is about the casino south of Petaluma, off Castaña.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this is about. But we knew that wasn't going to happen, so that's why I'm just commenting.
Yeah.
It's an interesting headline on the right-hand page of the front paper when it was known information.
Hmm.
But, I mean... Everything has to come out.
Yeah.
But we knew that because in Sacramento, we knew that from Sacramento it might have been about a year ago or longer.
It's funny. I've only been to the casino one time, and it was with us. It was with you.
Yeah.
Actually, that night, and can I go one other time? I think I just walked in and out.
I don't know.
Yeah, I did. I've only been there twice.
A couple of times.
Oh.
So there's also Warren Hollybee has made it halfway around the world. He's circumnavigating the Earth in a 38-foot sailboat. Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
I couldn't do that either.
That's not pretty amazing.
It's not quite. I had this hand procedure done,
mm-hmm.
and I was finding that I couldn't fish anymore because my thumb, I had an injury on my thumb, and I couldn't, reel the fish in. And so I had my thumb fused, and so I'm actually really excited because I'm waiting for the fishing season to start to see if it actually works now.
Is crab season officially on?
Is officially on.
Okay, I haven't had any crab this year yet.
We did once when it first opened. Not the season, but, the season opened for not commercial, for pleasure. So I still have some crab in the freezer. And, so I saw that they lit the menorah this
I missed that.
I did too. It was too cold to go out.
I forgot it was happening.
It's been cold for weeks now.
I looked at the temperature. It was maybe 2 in the morning the other night. It was about 37 degrees in Petaluma.
Yeah.
And I looked in New York, and New York was like 42 or something.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it's 3-hour time difference, so they were later, but still.
Well, the other day in Santa Rosa, it was 31 degrees, and if you went down to Larkspur, it was like 45 degrees. I mean, really a big difference from Sonoma County to...
It makes sense when you get closer to the water, I guess. There's an insulating
effect. But it should be warmer,
Yeah, it would be warmer, yeah.
Yeah, but it was...
Yeah, same with Bodega Bay was also warmer.
Right.
So I'm ready for it to not be so cold.
It seems like the, we're going to start going back so it's not as dark so early.
That happens.
That happens every year.
It does happen every year.
Yeah. And it's usually around the same time of the year.
Yeah.
But I got a message from somebody, and I'm not sure who it is because I'm not going to go back and look at the name. But it was somebody had a suggestion on our show.
Oh, really?
About to bring somebody on. So I wrote back to the person and said, that would be great. And I gave him my phone number, and I haven't heard from whoever this person is.
What did they suggest?
Well, they didn't really suggest anything. They just had a suggestion. So I was trying to find what the suggestion was and never kind of got to that point. So I think it might be interesting. Maybe we should have listeners message on our Facebook, things of interest to them.
Well, they certainly
what we can talk about.
We haven't received very many.
We could do Facebook Live.
We could do that. I'd love to take calls, too.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Calls.
I think it's 2020, maybe we need to up our game a little bit.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a lot going on in 2020.
It would be interesting to see how many people are listening to us.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah. And how do we get those tallies?
There is no way.
Huh. Kind of like a smart
thing. You can't do Nielsen ratings with
really?
There's assumptions we can make from Nielsen's. I did that.
I was surprised to hear that somebody was listening.
Well, on average, they say 80% of a population listens to radio.
Yeah.
That's very loose, but you can make an assumption.
But then remember, we are also streaming live at KPCA.
It's true. That's true. So potentially,
if you're sitting at your desk at work, you could.
Yeah, you don't have to be at Petaluma.
Yeah,
that's true.
Anywhere in the world.
I know. I tell my family, listen, it's Friday.
So have any of us taken the smart train since they opened the station at Larkspur?
No.
I have not, but I'd like to.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do that. We should make it an outing.
We should do it as an outing. That would be fun.
So you were mentioning Schulenberger earlier. There is a nice little article. I don't know if this is what you were referencing.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually 10 days old or 11 days old. But, yeah, this is all about Schulenberger. Stop, look, and listen to wildlife in Petaluma Wetlands with a new field guide. So,
no, I think it's great. I was Chip McCauley. He wrote for the Argus Courier.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I worked, this is... And along with Patricia Johansson, but this was really the concept was, if you really want to have this project, you have got to get the teachers involved and children involved.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice. And I saw Chip recently on Facebook because he and his family moved back to Chicago.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, a long time ago. And it was just good to see him. He looks exactly the same. Mm-hmm. And... He was really a joyful person.
He was a big advocate for the Petaluma Animal Shelter, too.
Well, yeah. He was good. And so they moved back to Chicago because I think his mom's family is from Chicago, maybe the dad too. But it was good to see him, but I definitely miss him. You know, there's some reporters that you just grasp onto, and they just take a real love of the community because he was raised here and he went to school here. And
remember Joe Sanchez?
Oh, God, Joe Sanchez. Mm-hmm. God, I haven't heard that name in forever.
Well,
oh, my God.
He passed away, so.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, wow.
A few years ago.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, then there was Dave Alcott, who was just an amazing reporter. Definitely a... he worked for actually the military, and he wrote for, I think, generals and stuff, you know, speeches.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Did you see the article about the Petaluma startup that's fighting fake news with cash?
I did see that.
This is kind of interesting.
Explain that to us.
Yeah, so fake news, misinformation, conspiracy theories, and distrust in media are global problems. We all know that. The solution may be found locally. A Petaluma-based startup is hoping to tackle these challenges through a crowdsourcing platform called Credr. The site, which launched earlier this year, allows users to review and rate articles on the basis of their perceived credibility, which is then aggregated into an overall credibility score. Users have an option to rate the article as trustworthy, or they can choose from 39 selections explaining why they find it untrustworthy, which includes sensational, failing Occam's razor, financial bias, and science misinterpreted. I don't know if you know what Occam's razor is, but that it's sort of like, the simplest explanation is typically the correct one. You know, instead of saying, okay, there's this crop circle, it must have happened by aliens, you go, oh, what are the other possible, more likely explanations? Pranksters, right? So this is a neat platform. It's very interesting. Apparently, they're on track to get, they hope to raise $100,000 for journalists over the Christmas time, just continue to start to raise, ideally, millions in 2020. They started up, it began as Tribeworthy in 2017.
Mm-hmm. I joined.
So that's pretty cool. It's certainly marketable.
We should have them
on.
Yeah. Yes.
That'd be very interesting.
Well, you know, I mean...
You know,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I joined back in 2017.
Uh-huh.
I was Tryworthy, and it just takes a long time to
participate. Yeah.
I mean, you have to be really committed to do something like that
and
have the time to do it. And
so you're part of the questions, or so they'll ask questions and then you'll respond. Is that what you're talking
right,
about?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So it's
so
like
you have to
ratings,
take the time
so
to weigh in.
Out.
Yeah, you have to take the time to weigh in, or the numbers are not valid.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I mean, I feel like this kind of, someone should design a really good algorithm that's able to do this, and then it should be just integrated into these social media platforms like Facebook.
Well, it's so interesting, you know, just watching even the news in the Argus Courier and... You know, other newspapers, national, and then you watching the news.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know how people just stop and listen, just agree with what they're hearing without really thinking through. What are they really saying? What does it really mean?
Mm-hmm.
What are the long-term implications? It's everything is just so short. And, you know, I've been watching, you know, I'm an MSNBC watcher.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really need to watch all the time because it's the same thing, 24-hour news cycle. And it's just not—it's not educational anymore. Some of them are. But
well, a lot of the news programs are really intent on trying to ensure you understand what the news means, and I have mixed feelings about that. Sometimes it's helpful in people understanding it, but I also feel like sometimes they're trying to generate a point of view rather than just presenting the facts. I mean, back
exactly.
in the old days when Walter Cronkite
right.
would read the news, it was like, here's the news. It
right.
wasn't like there's particular political bent that you would notice
mm-hmm.
Or that was even there at all. But I think that's very dry, and it's probably harder to sell advertisements. And this cycle of for-profit news, I think that's part of the issue. And then you couple that with short attention spans, and people just want to, oh, just tell me what it means. You know, they don't
right.
want to have to work to take the facts and assimilate it into a conclusion.
Right.
They want to be spoon-fed.
Well, it's
something.
Really hard for the public because the public sometimes has to respond.
Yeah.
And so you're responding back. And people don't even realize that somebody needed to respond back because it wasn't correct or
right.
misinformation.
No.
And that just doesn't happen a lot.
So the Narrows project is inching along. There's an article there. another piece of 101 is rebuilt, but more work is needed for full congestion relief for commuters.
I have to say,
by the time they're done, they're going to have to come up with another plan because...
It's the approach.
Yeah.
It's a Band-Aid.
You know, it's really interesting with the transportation because the Highway 37 is huge and Lakeville is a huge component of all of this. And there is a Highway 37 in a working group with SCTA and supervisors and the other Bay Area counties that are connected going to Vallejo or, 80. And it just, I just feel like there's missing components to our transportation. It's almost as though we need to fight about SMART and to make sure people want that to fail. And when we're not looking at the bigger picture of what are we going to do, because 101 can never be widened past three lanes. You have 37 that is basically not working anymore. You have big trucks going over these roadways, and these were levee roads. And these levee roads are breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
And, I kind of like to look at it as a truth of what's really going on. So maybe people will get behind making some of these improvements, but I'm not really sure what's happening. And transportation is one of my favorite subjects.
And you recently wrote an opinion piece.
I did.
It was a response to the article regarding Rainier by John Burns. And I'm looking in the paper, and there's another one also. This is from resident Brian Barnacle, and it says, "Let's hold Petaluma leaders accountable." And this goes right at these leaders that have been promising Rainier. It's a pretty scathing article, actually. Last week, the Argus Courier polled its readers, asking if they supported development on floodplains upstream of downtown. The result was a resounding no. And then Brian asks the question, do we really need a poll to reinforce that Petaluma, an agricultural and green space-loving community, does not support paving our floodplains, damaging native species habitat, and putting thousands of residents and businesses in the downtown and Peyran neighborhoods at risk? He says, apparently so. And then he goes after the editorial that John Burns wrote that was commending city council members for trying to... essentially expedited development that would be in the floodplain.
you can't make up this kind of stuff, and that's why it's so important to really talk about what is your newspaper really trying to tell you. I have just recently met Brian, and I would love to actually have him on the show. He's a really interesting young man, very bright, and I really like the way he gets up at city council meetings and speaks, and I like his delivery.
Mm-hmm.
He's very concise, just like his writing. And I think it's time that more young people get involved, and he has a real knack for it.
Yeah, so he singles out a few of the council members, specifically Kearney, Miller, and Healy, and talks about how they're coming up for re-election. It says, these council members support building upstream of Peyran and downtown, placing the entire Peyran and downtown neighborhoods at risk of flooding. When we had Healy on, I asked the question, has anybody looked at new data regarding seawater rising? Because I'm sure that that's going to have an impact. This tidal slough, we call the Petaluma River. So does anyone remember how the 1995 Peyran floods devastated our community? It's a good question. The council members probably do, but will not let the safety and vitality of our community stop them from rubber stamping bad projects. And what is their solution to our decaying roads that we cannot afford to fix? Budget issues, housing crisis, and climate emergency. You guessed it. They want to consume green space with new roads, subdivisions, and oversized homes, increase your taxes, and continue to defer maintenance. Sounds like more of the same. Boy, I like this guy.
He's very interesting. And I'd like to see him get more involved in local government.
Yeah.
We need young minds that are thoughtful and fresh. Yeah. Well, it's so interesting. When somebody of his, he's in his 30s.
He was raised on a farm in Petaluma.
Yeah, he's from Petaluma.
He's a small business owner and a land use enthusiast.
And he you've got to listen to him speak. If people go on to the Agronicus for Petaluma, you can go into public comment and listen to him speak. He's quite articulate.
Well, I'm glad that's at least two responses to that piece of stuff from John Burns.
Right. But then he's right back in speaking again. Well, you know, it's interesting because a Bernie album, I'm talking about this Sid Common project.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Some of it's in the floodplain and some of it's not. And then they did this flood control project starting up north just before Old Redwood Highway.
Mm-hmm.
But they really didn't take into account that the entire Denman Flat, which goes out to Stony Point Road, is underwater in the winter a lot of times.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, and where's that water going to go? Oh, what are they going to put a floodgate up so that water doesn't come downstream? And so I think this flood control project that they are saying is going to make it that we can go ahead and build in the floodplain just doesn't make any sense at all. And we're going back to 1962 development.
Yep.
And it's 2020, and we have a council that has a majority of four for 1962 development. And flooding is not funny.
Mm-mm.
And
no, it's not.
No, it really is not. So,
well, let's hope 2020 will be the start of a new wave of thinking.
Well, you know, I'm just... Of course, I'm a pessimist, and I'm saying it's not going to happen because we have four votes on the city council.
Yeah, I mean, the other point, though, is where is the money going to come from?
Well,
something like Rainier. I mean, how are they going to get that money?
Well, Kathy Miller thinks that we're going to go ahead and the public all of Sonoma County is going to vote for it.
Mm-mm, it's not going to happen.
I don't think so either, because it's interesting, this fire tax, when David Rabbit spoke at the city council meeting, he was saying, or he made a comment to me, that, it's going to pass. You know, it's a high percentage. It's like 73% of the public are supporting this. And I'm saying, like the Petaluma City Council, are they going to be endorsing this? And he goes, we don't need their endorsement.
It's ridiculous because people, they're referring to this ballot measure, right, on Rainier that happened a long time ago and made no mention of who was going to pay for this stuff.
Exactly.
So if you held a vote today and people were under the impression that they'd actually be asked to pay for this, I think you'd have a very different result.
But they're asking the entire county, and I think what people are really upset about this is people that bike.
Mm-hmm.
It's the percentage of bike paths and stuff and alternative transportation is maybe 20%, and the 80% goes to roads. And that's why I want to go back to talk about 37 and Lakeville and how dangerous these roads are and that they're actually being degraded by the amount of traffic and the heavy trucks going over it. And nobody is really talking like this. Oh, you know, we're just kind of like saying, oh, well, one of these days that'll get done. We're looking at this.
Yeah.
But there never seems to be real solutions except the public has to pay.
Yeah.
So,
I avoid Lakeville at any cost.
I avoid it because it's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
It is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's terrifying.
And so I just want to hit quickly on David Ward, who was killed by the sheriff departments.
Mm.
And just very sad. You know, I watched that video.
Yeah, I did.
And I could not watch it a second time.
Yeah, that's just unbelievable.
You've got to give Mark Essick credit for...
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For putting it out there and not trying to cover it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best approach.
And kudos to Mark Essick.
Extremely hard for him.
Well, it is hard for him. But, you know, he came... I've invited to him a few things. And one time he didn't come, but the next year he did come to an event. And I was just really pleased that he came.
Yeah, I'd love to have him on the show.
You know what? I will let's contact him and see if he'll come on.
One thing I hope that they look at as they're investigating what happened was the response of the other officers that were there. Because there were about a dozen officers on, maybe not a dozen, but there were like six or something. Half a dozen.
Why didn't they try and stop him?
Exactly. And why isn't that part of your role? Yeah. If you're a police officer, you can't just look out to protect the public. You have to also protect the public from fellow officers, and that should have happened. They should have taken that guy away from the situation. I mean, there was a guy, one of the officers was tasing the guy.
Why the guy was basically in a chokehold and passed out.
And they're trying to pull him out of the car window, and he's saying, hey, my legs are stuck. And he bit him. Well,
he's in a wheelchair. He uses a wheelchair part-time.
Oh, so do you know about the victim?
Yeah, he was in an accident. He was on a motorcycle, and he was in an accident. So he's impaired because of that.
Uh-huh.
And so he has impairment with walking.
Right.
And apparently he uses a wheelchair part of the time. And
well, anybody who watches that video, I think, can tell that this was not the right way.
Without a doubt.
Now, look, the guy fled from the scene, which he should not have done. It's really not a good idea, but I don't know why. Nobody knows why.
Right.
And there were several times where he was not very responsive immediately to the commands of the officer.
Right.
But there is no reason that should have led to his death.
At that point, by the time he was tased, he was already...
he wasn't a threat to
him. He wasn't a threat at all. Just to be fair... police officers, you have to be prepared when you're going in a situation because you don't know.
Well, and also they were angry.
Well,
I mean, that's the other problem that happens is when you make a police officer chase you like that, they're not really in a good mood.
Exactly.
When they have to deal with you. But none of that matters.
Right.
The guy was doing the wrong thing. The officer was doing the wrong thing. And the other officers were there and let it happen. And I'm sorry, but that needs to be looked at. And also, those body cams... Is that a live stream? Because it should be. And it should be monitored so that whenever that's starting to happen, there's a dispatcher or someone going, hey, this officer is not doing
that. Well, that is not what body cams are supposed to do.
I know.
When you're in an incident, I'll disagree with you. I do not think that they need to have somebody.
It's supposed to record it. But in this case, that would have been the exact vantage point. Because as a viewer, when I'm watching that, I know this officer is not doing the right thing. So there should be some monitoring. Otherwise... Really, the safest way to proceed is we don't have human officers anymore. They're AI, and do we really want a world like RoboCop?
This is a really bad tragedy, and I just don't want to put all police officers in because I'll just say an incident. I remember I was doing a drive along with an officer, and there was this kid. I mean, he was young. He was really drunk, and this is just actually Liberty Street. And so they pull him over.
Yeah.
It was right actually by Hallie's. The officer, there was two cop cars there. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And we pulled up and this guy is just super drunk, a young kid. They knew who he was. So this is a lot, this has been an incident over and over again. And the one cop that I was with, he was just taking this guy and pounding him on the trunk of the car, and I could not believe what I was watching because this guy was incapacitated anyway because he was so drunk. The other officer, I heard him say to kind of back off, and he did not back off the other officer. So
you should have tased the other officer.
Well, this is before they even had tasers. This is quite a few years ago, but it's an incident I will never forget. But you saw one cop that was just he was going to go after this guy and show me what it was like, and this is how we deal with it. And then the other guy... who had more compassion to kind of like back off.
Yeah.
And so I always get, there are always good and bad in any organization.
Well, it was a
bad situation. And then we ended up taking this kid to the hospital.
Right.
And they had to have him in a special room and then they had to tie him to the, handcuff him to the bed. And he was just urinating all over the room. I mean, this guy was completely out of it. It was an experience that I will never forget. But it was really two different officers.
Sure. So in regular life for most people, if you're witnessing a crime and you don't do nothing about it, isn't there a little bit of responsibility for that person that doesn't report the crime? The police officers that are witnessing a fellow officer engage in behavior like this that leads to the death of somebody, there ought to be a responsibility on those officers to step forward and stop it.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
That's part of the code.
I'm not disagreeing with you, and I think there needs to be
I just meant the camera as a way to... Because here's a plausible argument why they wouldn't get involved. How can they see it? From their perspective, they don't actually know what's going on in the car. I mean, those other officers that were standing a bit back from it, But a great way to see it would be to monitor that video. If someone else had been monitoring that video at the same time, they go, oh, this officer is out of hand.
Well, I mean, it's not like football that you have an instant replay. I mean, the instant replay is
no, it could be a live stream.
Well, I get that, but I'm just saying that I'm not sure if I agree with that.
Why?
Or if I even think it's possible.
Why? Because of course it's possible.
Well, I don't think it is plausible then.
Why?
Because I think financially it's not, and that's not how you're going to go ahead and do policing.
But these devices are—they can already do it. It's not, and I'm saying if it saves lives, that's a good thing.
Well, this is a good question for some officers, and I'd actually like somebody from the police department to come on.
That would be great.
Yeah,
and we can have that discussion then.
Yeah, you know, and get some other opinions on it.
Well,
I always go back to when my brother was in Vietnam, and I always think he was a gunner. He was in the Marines, and he went through some really crazy stuff over there, and. You know, and then I kind of look at officers, and I do have some sympathy.
I do, too. I'm just saying monitor the bad ones, you know.
No,
the,
I agree.
Or even,
I
you
agree.
Know, it's just...
Yeah.
I mean,
but Essex does deserve, I think, kudos for this.
Yes, absolutely.
So how about some good news?
Okay.
Which means this is our last show of the year.
That is true.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's 2020.
I know.
So what are you doing for New Year's?
Drinking bubbles.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I have some
at
bubbles.
Home.
I think I have at home that I could probably put in the refrigerator.
You want to drink some bubbles now?
We could do that. Are we allowed
that's
to
a good
do
idea.
That?
I brought some.
I don't know. Can we?
We could
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
So we should tell the listeners what we're about to do.
Here.
You know, maybe more,
oh my God,
more specificity.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
So
wow.
these are, this
I
is a...
Don't set these cups too close to the equipment.
So we're breaking the rules here.
I don't know if it's good. I'm a rule breaker.
Hang on to your glass and... Here's to the new year.
Here's to the new year.
Yes, it is.
Cheers. I'm not going to actually clink cups because we might spill.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's tasty. Mm. That's tasty.
So what are we drinking here, Cindy? Are we going to tell our listeners? What? We're not.
We're drinking something from Lagunitas.
Yeah. Lagunitas Hi-Fi Hops.
Hi-Fi Hops.
Yeah.
Mmm.
Oh, you guys are funny.
It's tasty.
Yeah, it is.
It is tasty.
Great terpenes.
So, does this still have to be purchased in Cotati? Because,
well, whatever dispensary carries it.
Oh, you're
talking about the
dispensaries where you buy these?
No. At Mercy.
Oh.
Yeah, so the law, I guess, prohibits alcoholic beverage companies from also offering cannabis-infused products.
Right.
So that's a California law right now. So this is why Lagunitas can create the liquid part of this beverage, but then they can't actually infuse it. So that has to go to, I believe it's Sebastopol,
right.
where the company is actually infusing it with cannabis.
Exactly.
And as far as purchasing the final product, I don't know. There's that new dispensary now in town. Maybe they can carry it. Where you have to have an appointment.
Okay.
Otherwise,
okay.
I saw it at Mercy. You can go to Mercy Wellness in Cotati.
This one that we are drinking is the 10 milligrams of THC per bottle.
And what's the other ones?
5 milligrams.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah,
this
okay.
is this has more THC.
Yeah.
Twice the amount.
Yeah.
I that's good math.
Well, if you believe that 2 times 5 equals 10, but for some people, sometimes it's 11 or 12,
okay.
depending.
Depending on how much Hi-Fi Hops you drink.
Well, some people think phone calls are perfect.
Yeah,
other
well, that's
people,
true. That's
imperfect.
True.
So we live in a relative fact world, I guess. Oh. But for those of us who do support the idea of facts, yes, it's 10 milligrams.
Oh. God, I was just looking
now,
back.
What that 10 milligrams does, divided by 3 people...
I was just going to say, can you do the math?
It's going to be dependent on tolerance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of equations involved.
Well, I brought more than one bottle.
Oh, good. I feel much healthier now.
And I have an appointment with my personal trainer at 2 o'clock.
You know, I'm really kidding. I like this because it's not too sweet.
Yeah.
No, it's not sweet.
It doesn't taste like
there's
beer.
Zero calories.
It doesn't taste like beer. I can't.
Yeah, zero calories.
You're kidding.
It's hop water.
It's hoppy.
It's hop. It's
there's something that's sweet,
hop
though.
Water.
There's something in it that's sweet. What's the flavor? Is there some? It's like a passion or something? Is it passion fruit? Something like that. I don't know.
This IPA-inspired sparkling beverage is made using everything Lagunitas knows about hops. but with zero alcohol, zero calories, and zero carbs. Infused with THC from the finest sun-grown Absolute Extracts cannabis, it's good to have friends. Call us and let us know what.
So you can make this at home if you wanted to.
Sure. Well, you know how to make beer, yeah.
Yeah, and then you just make it into a beer.
It's hop water. It's not beer. Yeah, because there's no yeast in it.
Huh.
Yeast is what makes the alcohol.
The yeast consuming the sugar.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
I made beer many years ago, and it's a lot of fun, but you have to have a lot of patience.
And a lot of bottles.
Yeah, because you have to wait. You know, you can't just, like, make it and drink it right then. Also, you can't put too much sugar in because the bottles will blow up. That happened to me.
Well, apparently your chemistry that day.
I can't remember what the deal was. I think we were making some kind of honey ale. And it was just, we did something wrong with the recipe. One or two of the bottles actually blew up. So fortunately, no one was near them when it happened.
You had a pressure cooker.
It wasn't a complete explosion. It was just the top of the bottle. But it wasn't like just the cap. It was the glass part as well. So I don't know if that was one of the weaker parts of the bottle or not.
Interesting.
My husband was a partner in a winery, and they had a batch that of wine that they made that accidentally too much CO2 was.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's what can happen. Yeah,
and
exactly.
It started blowing corks in the warehouse.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Typically, it's if you bottle it too quickly, so there's two things that happen. Either you put too much sugar in, or you bottle it too quickly before it's had some time to let off some of that.
Yeah.
And it's compressed and it has nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Explosion, but that's a lot of fun to make. It's been a while.
I'd like to do. Maybe we should do a show on the road and get on the smart train and go down to Larkspur.
We have a portable recording equipment to
do
that.
Absolutely do that.
Maybe we
should
try that.
What's it called? Zoom. You would know, Jason. Zoom recorder.
Yeah, there's a Zoom recorder. There's quite a few others. You can even use your iPhone these days.
Yeah.
Or whatever mobile phone you happen to use. So, yeah, it was we had a year.
I know, a year. How many shows have we done?
Gosh.
60-something. So you have to go to the website to look.
Wow.
This is
there were some weeks that we've been doing this for a year and a half, but there were some weeks when we did not do it.
Yes. And there's one show, I haven't posted last week's show yet, so that's 68. This is the 69th show.
That was an interesting show. He's very interesting.
Ed.
I listened to his show. You reminded me, and of course I get to it, and he's playing, you know, my absolute favorite bands, the new Pink Floyd release. They're not still a band. It's an old recording that's been released. A box set, I guess. It includes some live stuff, but that was great.
I was going to go see Little Women today at 10:15, mm-hmm. and I realized that I couldn't, so I'm going to have to see it another day. But what I did this weekend was I watched from 1933, and then there I think there was a 1939 and maybe a 1944 Little Women movie.
Oh, cool.
And so I decided to watch those, and my favorite to date is the one with Winona Ryder, which is, 94 or 98? I'm not sure. I think it's 1994. I think that is just superior compared to the other two. So I'm looking forward to seeing this one, except I heard it didn't get great reviews, nor did Star Wars.
Hmm.
So yeah, I saw mixed reviews on Star Wars. Yeah. I haven't seen it yet. I think sometimes people take stuff too seriously. I don't know what they're expecting. It's a Star Wars movie. I mean,
kind of what I think too. Exactly. I feel the same way.
But I want to see it because for me, I mean, I was 10 when Star Wars came out, and some of these classic characters like Chewbacca.
You were 10.
It's very nostalgic.
God, I had kids.
Yeah. Well, it's time for us to wrap up.
Is that it?
Wow.
And I want to take this opportunity to thank you both for continuing on with me on this venture.
Does this mean we don't get to drink anymore?
A lovely adventure.
Yeah, we can move out to the other room.
I know. You started talking this about 2 years before we actually got this together.
I dreamed of Inside Petaluma many years ago.
Yeah.
And it always came to the front of my mind when we were coming upon an election, a local election.
Right. Yeah.
Last year, 2018, when we started, it was prior to the local election.
That's right.
Which prompted me to say, okay, come on, guys, we're going to do this. So, anyway, thank you both very much for...
Well, thank you for all you do, both of you.
Yeah,
and it's a pleasure working with both of you.
Thanks for tolerating.
And Happy New Year, and see you in 2020.
Yeah, see you in 2020. And stay tuned for... Jordan Torres, he's on next with his Brown Boy Talking show, and we will be back next Friday, right? Are we both all going to be here?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. We'll see you next Friday. Check out our website, InsidePetaluma.com, our Facebook page, KPCA Inside Petaluma, and
let us know what you
thank
want
you all for yes, and we're going to take phone calls in the upcoming
yeah week. Phone
yeah
calls.
So our game.
Yeah, stay tuned and thank you again. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Thank you.